Today on Annenberg Radio News.
I call it the Mount Everest of musical instruments.
Bagpipes are one sound you'll hear if you watch the Thanksgiving Day Parade Thursday. Today we hear about the pipe dreams of a local musician. Good afternoon, Los Angeles. This is the University of Southern California, and this is Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, November 20th, 2012. I'm Josh Wu. This Thanksgiving, Walmart customers hungry for deals will be starting their Black Friday shopping early. In fact, Black Friday starts so early this year that it actually starts on Thursday. Some Walmart employees aren't happy about the change. Molly Gray went to one Walmart where employees plan to walk out Thursday evening.
More than 100 Walmart employees were protesting outside of the Pico Rivera Superstore on Washington Boulevard this morning. They joined thousands of employees at stores around the country who are angry about low wages, cut hours, and increased workloads. Evelyn Cruz has been an employee at Walmart for more than 8 years and says that the work environment has gotten worse and worse as time goes on.
They cut hours, they understaff us, they overwork us, they definitely don't pay enough. And now they're taking their holidays away. We got the power!
Walmart's Black Friday sale is notorious as an all-night affair of crazed shoppers looking to score goods for next-to-nothing prices. And with the ordeal starting 4 hours earlier, Walmart employees say they no longer get any time to be with their families.
So they're used to me working on Friday at midnight. We were able to at least eat dinner with them and then come in and work. Now we don't even get to do that.
Most customers I talked with said they felt for the employees. Maria De Los Santos says she doesn't plan to shop on Thursday or Friday.
And then make them work Thanksgiving, I think that's wrong. Because they have family and they want to enjoy it with the family too. I mean, not everything is money, money, money.
Walmart officials say the pay and benefits they offer are as good or better than their retail competitors. The company has bombarded social media, saying the workers' claims are unwarranted. One tweet from Walmart's media account reads, "Don't believe everything you read in the union press releases. We don't think their Black Friday activity will have an impact on customers." Another simply states, "We think Black Friday at Walmart will be awesome this year, regardless of the naysayers." Additionally, the company's main Twitter account, @Walmart, is using Twitter's new paid promotion system to place tweets about their electronics deals at the top of every user's newsfeed. This apparent disregard of workers' complaints is what is bothering Maria Elena Durazo, Secretary Treasurer of the Los Angeles County Federation of Labor.
Walmart just needs to sit down and talk to them and solve these issues. There's no need for a picket line.
However, Walmart spokesman Dan Fogelman says most of the people participating in the protests around the country today aren't even Walmart employees. Rather, he believes they are union representatives and union members from other companies. Employee Evelyn Cruz counters that many more employees want to speak but are afraid.
We are not a union. We are Walmart associates.
As this conflict has been unfolding, there has been backlash from unemployed people across the country who say Walmart employees should be happy they have a job to begin with.
And that's a very valid point. I should be grateful. But they have to understand, we are human beings. We do have families. We do have families that we need to support. And that's exactly why Walmart does what it does.
Cruz says she and many other employees at the Pico Rivera store are prepared to stage a walkout on Black Friday if Walmart continues to ignore their pleas. Molly Gray, Annenberg Radio News.
And the city council voted today to place a half-cent sales tax hike on the March ballot, reconfirming last week's vote. If approved by the voters, the tax would be expected to raise up to $215 million. That's just enough to plug the city's $216 million budget hole in the next fiscal year. Those who favor the tax hike, like Council President Herb Wesson, says it's needed to prevent layoffs of police officers. Opponents say the higher sales tax would make L.A. less business-friendly. They include council members Jan Perry and Eric Garcetti, who are both running for mayor. Mayor Villaraigosa announced that he plans to return the ordinance to the council without his signature, rather than vetoing or approving it. That action would effectively place the sales tax hike before voters in March. And four Southern California men are in federal custody on charges of plotting to join Al-Qaeda and kill Americans in terrorist attacks. A federal complaint revealed yesterday says Pomona resident Sohil Omar Kabir recruited three young men to radical Islam after meeting them online. The FBI says the would-be terrorists planned to join Kabir in Afghanistan for training and then attack U.S. military bases overseas. If convicted, they face up to 15 years in prison. Tomorrow is one of the busiest travel days of the year, and striking airport workers could cause traffic to go from bad to worse to total nightmare. Some union airport workers will go on strike this Thanksgiving Eve, shutting down certain roads and airport entrances. Here's LAX spokeswoman Catherine Alvarado.
So we're advising, you know, that people get to the airport 3 hours before an international flight and 2 hours before a domestic flight. And even then, if they can arrive a little earlier to anticipate any unforeseen delays, then that would be good.
If you're traveling for Turkey Day tomorrow, check out the LAX website to find out which entrances will remain open. And you know it's Thanksgiving in South Los Angeles when you see people stand in line to get free holiday dinners, courtesy of Jackson Limousine Service. Evan Budrovich reports on this turkey tradition.
People started lining up as early as yesterday morning at a South Los Angeles church. And today, Jackson Limousine Service passed out turkey dinners to families in need for the 30th year. Rich McCollum was there to get his dinner.
Man, he's been doing his thing for 30 years. I mean, come on. He got a space in heaven. He has to have one. Come on, look how many families he's feeding out here, man. You know, you can't just give away money like that.
Hundreds of volunteers, including Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, were on hand to pass out turkey, stuffing, and produce, among other things. Carolyn Hunter loves the atmosphere.
Everybody is coming together. It's like that old southern feel. It's beautiful. Everybody is helping. Everybody is helping the seniors.
Personally, I love it. I think it's one of the greatest things you can do, and it's one of my favorite things to do.
That was 8th grader Noah Dahl. Jackson's foundation, called Us Saving Us, planned to pass out more than 10,000 dinners this year. To help out, L.A.'s favorite hero, Danger Man, was lending a super hand.
Well, my role today is to get people to their cars, help with packages, you know, greet people, tell them to have a good Thanksgiving.
In today's tough economic climate, donations for the annual turkey giveaway were slow. Even a few days ago, Jackson was worried about getting enough to feed everyone. But last-minute donations saved the day.
Love it for doing that. Do this every year. And it's fun because you get to see some of the people you didn't see last year.
And I'm thankful for everybody who's getting anything. It's very, very happy. It's emotional for me.
This Thanksgiving, thousands of Angelenos will go home with a smile and some great food. Evan Budrovich, Annenberg Radio News.
And now for the weather. Clear and cool tonight with a low of 53. Expect clouds and cooler weather tomorrow with a high of 71 and a low of 51. Mostly sunny on Thanksgiving Thursday, so enjoy your day off. Highs in the mid-70s and lows in the mid-50s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, could video games help students get into college? If you watch the Thanksgiving Day parade, you're likely to hear the distinctive sound of bagpipes. Jennifer Fabre-Bowes is one Southern Californian who is passionate about the pipes. She studied music all her life, but didn't discover the bagpipe until well into adulthood. She helped form the Pasadena Scottish Pipes and Drums in 2006 and went on to become its pipe major. Bowes and her kilted brethren have traveled around the world playing reels, jigs, and marches, and they've even made it to the World Piping Championships in Glasgow, Scotland.
I've been a musician all my life. I've played various instruments. The bagpipes are definitely the only instrument where people are really, really interested. My other instrument was clarinet, and they would say, oh, that's nice. But with bagpipes, you know, it's wow. I'm the pipe major of the Pasadena Scottish Pipes and Drums. I personally enjoy instruments that are ensemble instruments. I enjoy the social aspect of it. So for me, I'm not really just satisfied just being on my own, and I want to play in a group. So the pipe band was very appealing to me. I'm afraid we're kind of in the same group as with the accordionists, the ukuleleists, that kind of instrument. And of course, we have a reputation for making horrible noises and playing out of tune. Because of my experience with other instruments, I realize there are players at the very highest level that rival any virtuoso on any instrument. It is definitely the hardest instrument that I've ever come across, and I would dare say it's the hardest instrument to learn in the world. I call it the Mount Everest of musical instruments. You really should strive to practice every day if you can. Bagpiping is a lot like being a long-distance runner. You really have to keep your stamina up, and there's only one way to do that, and that is just to play. It's just a very physical instrument. I mean, it's just difficult to squeeze the bag. I mean, when I'm done piping, I'm drenched with sweat, and it really is a workout. And the details in the music are very, you have some very fast-moving grace notes and technique that is, it's just faster. You have to move your fingers faster than you do for other instruments. I took up the bagpipes later in life. I took up the bagpipes at 39 or 41. And I'm sorry I didn't start it as a kid. I really have a regret about that. But I really, really love it. I really feel that I am on this earth to do this.
That sound portrait featured Jennifer Fabre-Bose and was produced by Catherine Davis. You can see an audio slideshow of this story on our website, annenbergradio.org. And now we go from bagpipes to sewage pipes. You have enough to worry about on Thanksgiving. Turkey disasters, family squabbles, football. You're probably not thinking about your plumbing. But as Emmanuel Martinez reports, you might want to keep a bottle of Drano handy on Turkey Day.
Retail stores and plumbers have one thing in common: Black Friday. According to Jennifer Campos Diego of Rick Campos Plumbing and Heating, the Friday after Thanksgiving is the busiest day of the year.
They'll experience problems on Thursday, but they don't want to pay time and a half. So they wait till Friday to call us when they realize, okay, my kitchen's backed up because all the leftovers were thrown down the drain as well.
Plumbing instructors and students from the Los Angeles Trade Technical College held a demonstration giving tips on how to avoid a plumbing disaster on Thanksgiving.
Prior to running the dishwasher, we need to run cold water down the garbage disposal and turn it on. This will verify that the drain line is clear for the dishwasher to operate properly.
If your garbage disposal happens to quit working, reach underneath, hit the reset button, and if that doesn't work, use your disposal wrench and break it free.
Here's what the experts say causes the most problems: potato peels, turkey bones and skins, celery, and grease. But problems can also extend to the bathroom. Toilet paper overusage is the leader in clogging the pipes. Campos Diego says the best way to prevent this is single-ply toilet paper.
Don't use the thick plush toilet paper, even though it's nice for the guests, but when they use too much of it, and especially children tend to do that. If you have, you know, little cousins or nieces and nephews, they'll just use a lot of toilet paper.
With the holidays beginning to pick up steam, the same tips can be used to prevent Christmas from going down the drain. Emmanuel Martinez, Annenberg Radio News.
Media research firm NPD reports that Americans spent more than $1.3 billion on the video game industry in October. And yes, that's billion with a B. But it's not all about escapism. Melissa Runnels spoke to the Elizabeth Swenson of the Interactive Media Department at USC's Film School. And Swenson says games can teach kids skills IRL in real life, like applying to college. We apologize for the technical difficulties on our end. We'll try and get that interview up for you later on in our show. But right now, LAPD is searching for a severely autistic man who went missing yesterday. The man is 30-year-old Miguel Angel Castillo Jr. He was last seen just after 2 p.m. downtown near the 7th Street and Metro Center station. Castillo was wearing a tan jacket, blue jeans, white tennis shoes, and was carrying a dark gray backpack. Anyone with information on Castillo's whereabouts should contact police. Santa Monica College announced today it will offer a full schedule of winter classes, thanks to the promise of funding brought by the passage of Proposition 30. SMC had previously announced it would cancel winter offerings after suffering $8 million in budget cuts. Under Proposition 30, California's 112 community colleges will receive $210 million in funding. International soccer superstar David Beckham will play his final game with the LA Galaxy during the Major League Soccer Championship on December 1st. Beckham's six-year career in the United States boosted ticket sales for both the Galaxy and the MLS. But even though his time playing stateside is almost over, he hopes, quote, to be part of the team's ownership structure in the future. And now we check in with Juliana Ruiz to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Juliana?
A potential ceasefire in the Israel-Gaza conflict was discussed today after Egypt's president predicted airstrikes would soon end. Find out what the Israeli prime minister had to say tonight on ATVN. A second accuser has come forward saying that the Elmo puppeteer Kevin Clash sexually abused him as a teenager. This follows Clash's resignation from his job of over 20 years. Learn more about the facts tonight. And for everyone traveling this Thanksgiving, LAX officials are saying you should add an additional hour and a half to your travel time due to protests that will take place on Century Boulevard tomorrow afternoon. Check out ATVN tonight to find out when you should and shouldn't travel during the upcoming holiday.
All right, thank you, Juliana. And now we actually have now that interview with Elizabeth Swenson from USC's Film School. Here it is.
And so how do these games teach them?
Well, the way we like to think about it is the college application process is a system with rules, much like a game is a system with rules, only for most people, they only get to play the college application game once. And so we're trying to create a sort of safe environment to experiment with the meta strategies of how to prepare for the college application process.
What would you mean by meta strategy?
We're talking about things like how to leverage the things you love to do, your extracurriculars, how to express that in a way that colleges might be interested, to think about things of letters of recommendation, about managing time, eyeing deadlines.
How does a game, say, help me learn that in a way that talking to a teacher or a counselor, are we talking about in the absence of counselors or?
I mean, in the state of California, I think in 2008, 2009, the average student to counselor ratio was 800 to 1. And the recommendations are closer to 250. I think the average is 477 across the country. And so they're out there and they're doing great work, but it's a lot of kids.
You know, I think there's sort of a popular idea that kids love their electronic devices. So anything that's electronic and winking at them and lets them press buttons at whatever age will make them like that tool and want to learn the subject.
Some people believe it's true. Our sort of view at the Game Innovation Lab is that going at an interactive experience as an extrinsic motivator isn't going to be as powerful as merging the content with the medium. If you have a series of sort of rote memorization exercises that are given fun colors and lights, you might get students who say, I'd rather do this, but that doesn't mean they're going to do it at home. I think that you have to generate sort of the intrinsic pleasure of the game in order to motivate a student forward, and that is best done when the game content is complementary to the learning content rather than an add-on. I have a colleague that calls that phenomenon chocolate-covered broccoli. Broccoli's really good for you, chocolate's really delicious, but putting them together all the time doesn't work. If you want to teach facts, if you want to teach dates, a book does that better. That's what the book is trained to teach you to do. If you want to teach cause and effect, if you want to teach relationships, games are great at that.
That was Elizabeth Swenson of USC's Interactive Media Department speaking with our Melissa Runnels. And that does it for us for this Tuesday. We had help today from Max Schwartz and, of course, ATVN. Aaron Schrank produced our newscast. And for all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Josh Wu. Have a happy Thanksgiving.